Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. I think the wonder of a meeting like this is that we have the opportunity to recognize that Jesus is here. And if we miss that, then we miss our purpose in gathering together. Do you know that Jesus is here? We've heard some things that maybe you haven't heard before tonight about dancing in the Spirit and shouting in the Holy Ghost. But those things are not an end in themselves. They bring Jesus to our midst in a greater way, because through those things we learn to lose ourselves, as it were. You know, we have a lot of pride, and we have a lot of self, and we don't even realize it. And sometimes, as we've heard, we're the greatest hindrance to God's working. And so we have to learn to get out of the way and allow ourselves to become simple again. And say, Lord, I want you to have your way in me. I want you to be glorified. So I give myself to you, Jesus. And so we need to begin, beloved, with that fact that Jesus is here. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize that Jesus is among us? That's where it begins. We didn't come to just sing songs. We didn't come to hear someone speak. We didn't come for that purpose. We came to meet the Lord Jesus. And every meeting ought to be a meeting with Jesus. And so why did you come tonight? To meet Jesus. Amen. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, I need you. That's been our one message. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. There's no escaping it. He's not here to make you better. He's here to replace you, to displace you. Oh, Jesus, come and fill us. Jesus, come. I just wanted to underscore that the word obedience, that's what it's really about. It's all about obedience. Are you willing to obey what Jesus says? Are you doing what he says? Oh, Jesus, help me to obey.
Hallelujah.
Lord, when you speak, when you whisper in my ear, when you drop something in my heart, dear Lord, help me to obey. Whether it's in a meeting or out of a meeting. I think sometimes we think we can be spiritual for a meeting. Well, that's not God's way. God wants you to learn to walk with him. He wants you to be spiritual in the kitchen. He wants you to be spiritual as you serve the food. He wants us to be spiritual as we drive the car and we get cut off with that person who's got a fish sticker on the back of their car. I always wonder if they're going to show up at my church. I better be good and not honk the horn at them. But can we be for Jesus then? In the very simple, everyday things of life, can we obey then? Hallelujah. I'd like you to take your Bibles. And our brother Ken, he said I should be free. I'm not sure exactly what that meant, but
be free, brother.
Be free, brother. Right. So there are a number of things that have been in my heart. We've been reading in 2 Corinthians as a church in Williamsburg. I ought to say it's nice to see some faces that I know, and then it's nice to see faces I don't know. And I know that God is bringing others to the camp, and it's nice to see that. I usually, maybe you're here all the time, and we don't cross paths. I'm usually here at the end, that fourth period. But I'm so happy to be with you, and I brought my daughter up today, and so I said, well, let me see if we can make it for the service tonight. That would be nice. And so thank God we were able to do that. There's a beginning in the first chapter. of 2 Corinthians. It speaks there. First of all, the book of 2 Corinthians is one of those letters that Paul wrote, and I know that the first letter seemed to deal with certain problems that they had in the church, and he tried to address that. And in the second book, it's a book that he tells us what the ministry, or what ministry means to him. What's involved with ministry and what it costs to be a minister of the gospel. And you might say, well, you're not speaking to me. I'm not a minister. Well, I beg to differ. If God has saved you, if God has laid his hand upon you, then he has called you to serve him and to be for him and to be his minister. Have you found that to be so? Or are you content just to receive all the time and to have people minister to you? It's wonderful when people come and encourage us and minister to us. That's a blessing, isn't it? But God wants you to be a blessing. God wants your life to minister to someone else. Do you have something to give? Well, if God has done something in your life, you have something to give. And we're going to see that here in this first chapter. Beginning at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now, these verses that follow, I've often used at a funeral. A family is grieving and we gather around and we remember that loved one that has passed on. And we remind one another that we have a God who comforts us. And it goes on to say this, "Who comforts us in all our tribulations or troubles, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so you see here that life is not free of troubles. For the Apostle Paul, was his ministry free of difficulties? No, you can list he lists the things that he suffered for Christ's sake. In doing the will of God, he suffered. That doesn't make any sense. And yet there was something that God was working in him and through him that could only take place through those sufferings and through those trials. He says, we're comforted. Why? Because God comforts us. But there's a purpose in that. He brings us through our troubles, our trials, so that we can comfort others. So that our lives can overflow with that same comfort of God and overflow into someone else's life. And we don't always see trouble that way. And it could be any trouble. It doesn't mean just, this is not confined to a time of loss, a family loss. It's not confined to that. It says any trouble that we're in. And so how is it that you receive the comfort of God in trouble? How does that take place? Does that just happen? Well, there's another thought that is so important for us to understand. You see, in the trouble and in the trial, we need to keep our eyes upon God. And that's this thought of faith. What is faith? We can have many, I think, a little definitions, what do you call those things, acronyms for faith. I think faith is sight. The Bible says faith is not sight. But it is sight. It's not natural sight, but it's spiritual sight. You see, faith is the gaze of the soul on a saving God. Faith is looking unto Jesus, seeing him who is invisible. That's faith. How big is your faith? Well, how big is your God? That's really the bottom line, isn't it? It's not about your faith. Lord, increase our faith. Well, Lord, give us a greater sight of who you are. I was reading in this latest edition of Things New and Old. You ought to get your copy and read it. And there's a number of articles on faith. And one of the illustrations is, or Bible accounts, is from the disciples upon the lake. You know that? They got into a storm. They got into trouble. And what does Jesus say? Where's your faith? But Lord, we're perishing. Where's your faith? I'm here. And so we have to realize that in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our trials, God is with us, and He is able to make all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, you know, troubles can either break us or they can cause us to grow. They can enlarge our capacity for God as we learn to trust Him in the midst of the trial. Has God brought you through any difficult places in life? Have you found Him to be faithful? Have you found His word to be true? Have you found that His promises never fail? That this God is our God even to the end? Have you found that to be so?
Hallelujah.
Well, if you have, then you've received that comfort that God gives. That word comfort is the word that we find in the book of John, where Jesus speaks about sending the Holy Spirit. The same word. And so when we receive comfort, it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. That's what comfort is. He comes to strengthen us. He comes to fortify us within, strengthened with all might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's true comfort. It's not just, you know, someone putting their arm around you and saying, I feel sorry for you. That's good in some ways. But it's so much better when that's done in the power of the Holy Spirit, because you have experienced that same comfort in your life. And so now I'm able to minister to someone else. That's what it says there, right? Did I read that right? I think that's what it says. And so if we would look at trouble that way, in trial, and instead of complaining and saying, well, God, why do you let this happen to me? Why do I have to go through this? Anybody talk like that? Don't raise your hand. But that's the natural reaction, isn't it? I don't want to go to camp. My back hurts. I should stay home. I should lay down. No, we're going in God's strength, and He meets us, beloved. He comforts us. In every trial, in every tribulation, we can receive the help of the Holy Spirit as we take in faith from His hand every trial, every difficulty. You know, I don't want to limit it to some of these bigger trials that we face. You know, every day there are things that things arise that would tend to cause our eyes to look at the situation instead of looking at God. Have you found that so? Every day, things come. And the battle, the test is, Lord, in this situation, can I keep my eyes upon You? Looking unto Jesus. Oh God, give us that grace to look unto You. The apostle goes on and he relates a little bit more about what this means. In verse 5 it says this, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted is for Your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for Your consolation and salvation. And our hope of You is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so also ye be also of the consolation. Now, that's a little bit difficult. I like reading these letters in a more modern translation. It helps me to understand. I remember reading and one time saying, well, that's what Paul was saying there, huh? But the idea is, again, that we need to view the difficulties we face as opportunities for the grace of God to be received so that it can flow out to others. And so whether it's a difficulty that I'm going through, or whether it's a triumph that the Lord brings me through and comforts me and consoles, Paul is saying it's for your benefit, because I'm coming and I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to share what God has done in me and through me. I'm going to share it with you. It's going to overflow. Just one more thought here and I'll be done. He explains it a little bit more. And in verse 8 it says this, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, I don't know if you've been in a situation like that, but here the Apostle Paul is saying we were in such a bad spot that we thought we were going to die. Now, I don't know if he's referring to the time that they dragged him out of the city and stoned him or other trials and persecutions that they suffered, but it says we were in such a bad spot, such a difficult situation that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and here it is, here's the key, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And so here's the confidence, here's the faith that Paul exemplifies in saying, even in that most difficult situation, God brought us there so that we would learn to trust in him and not to trust in ourselves. And if God could bring us to that place, beloved, there would come a great change, I believe, in our lives, where we would have no confidence in what we can do, but our confidence would be in the God who raises the dead. You know, that thought of death is connected with the whole thought of sin. What I mean by that is the end result of sin is death. And the fact that God is able to conquer death and break the power of death speaks to me that he's able to break the power of sin. And so whatever you're facing in your life, if you're struggling, God is able to give you the victory. Why? Because he's the God who raises the dead. He is the God who has overcome and won the victory for each one of us. There's nothing that can bring defeat if you put your trust in God. And so we don't trust in ourselves, but we trust in the one who raised the dead. Yes. There's one verse at the end of the fourth chapter. I'll read this in closing. He kind of goes back to this and he talks about the different, again, difficulties that they have faced in ministry. But he brings this to a conclusion in this. He says it this way. Verse 15 of the fourth chapter, it says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so, beloved, where are you looking tonight? Are you looking at the trouble? Are you looking at someone else for the answer? Or are you looking at Jesus? You know, the eternal things are the things that the Bible says we can't see. But they are the things that last. God's promises, his presence, his Holy Spirit. Are you looking in faith to a God who keeps his word? Lord, open our eyes to see. Increase our faith. That in spite of the trial, the Paul says here, it's a light affliction. It's working something for eternity, beloved. God wants you, God wants me to be a blessing. He wants my life to be a channel of His love, of His grace, of His Spirit. He wants you to be able to comfort someone else with the comfort that He has comforted you. And so I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if there's a specific difficulty that you're facing. But God is able. And so don't trust in yourself. Don't look to yourself for the answer. But look to Him. He is the God that does not fail. He is the God who says, my strength or my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so, Lord, we receive that help from your hand tonight. Lord, we want to be comforted by that Holy Spirit, by the Comforter. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to you. You know the things that come day by day. You know the trials that we face. You know those who may be in a long-standing trial tonight. But, Lord, you are wanting us to look up in faith to you, to receive that comfort that you alone can give. And you want to give us a testimony so that we can comfort those who are also in trouble, those who need your love and your grace. And so use us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.